Union University presents Faculty Focus, a series of podcasts illuminating the benefits of academic research leave. Faculty members at Union are awarded research leaves that vary in length from a semester to a full academic year. These concentrated studies frequently result in new publications and updated material for classroom teaching, but each experience is unique. Join us now as we document and showcase another research leave experience at Union University.
Welcome to another edition of Faculty Focus. I am Mark Kaler, and I am joined today by Dr. David McClune, who is University Professor of Music. Dr. McClune, thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, good morning. How are you doing?
Just great. This is a wonderful opportunity for you to talk about a trip that you just told me transformed your teaching, your outlook. It really meant a lot to you, this faculty research leave that you did. Let me start by asking you to describe very briefly what you did during your faculty research leave, how it was set up, that kind of thing.
Well, to do the leave means to require is to describe what I do. And I've taught music and art classes for 30 years here at Union. And I just felt after leading two trips to Italy with students that I did not have enough time to really investigate the art that's found in the country of Italy. So I put together a research leave that would allow me the time to basically live in Italy and France and enough daytime that I could visit churches and museums. And that's what I did for 15 weeks this past spring.
And those opportunities are readily available to visiting scholars. How did you go about setting up this trip?
Well, the leave began being very modest, being four or five weeks just in Italy. And as I began researching the quantity of art that's found in Italy and then adding France later, I realized I need to expand the trip. And it went to 6 weeks and then 9 and 12, and eventually it was 15 weeks long. I worked out a budget that I could afford and dove in. The entire trip, once I laid it out, which really happened the fall before, I chose certain numbers of weeks in major cities and would focus it. So I had 5 weeks in Rome, which was just an incredible experience. Lived in two different locations of Rome to experience two, ancient medieval Rome and then a very modern part of Rome. Had 4 days in Siena, which is one of the most beautiful medieval towns still in existence in Italy. 2.5 weeks in Florence, and I was able to enjoy a couple days out in the area of Tuscany, which reminded me very much of my home in western Pennsylvania, or for many of you, in eastern Tennessee. Mm-hmm. After the Florence trip, I wasn't sure what to do. I was really wrestling with, I needed some downtime. I was emotionally exhausted by that, seeing churches and art and museums. And I had a choice between literally a 6-day Italian cooking school in Sicily or spend 6 days up in the Dolomite Mountains, which are the eastern side of the Alps up near Austria. And I chose the Dolomites, and I'm very glad I did. I spent 6 days at a ski resort, although I don't ski, but every day was 6 to 8 hours at about 10 or 12,000 feet up in the middle of the Alps. And it was an incredible experience after all the beautiful art of Italy to look at the sheer power of nature and go, you know, God did it better than we ever did. And it was just a wonderful time of relaxation. From there, I journeyed a couple hours south and spent 2 weeks in Venice, which was probably the greatest experience I had. Then I went to have 3 days in Lucerne, again visiting the Italian Alps or the Swiss Alps, but also had a chance to see one of the largest Picasso museums in the world. Then I went to 2 weeks in Paris, which I barely scratched the surface in 2 weeks. I added an 8-day tour of Western Turkey. So from Paris, I flew to Istanbul, had an 8-day trip. In the middle of that wonderful volcano in Iceland blew. And we were all trapped in Istanbul, which was not a really great place to be when you don't speak Turkish and they don't speak much English. So out of a lot of soul searching, I decided just to fly home, and through a series of events, found the last-minute flight to Barcelona, and 2 days later, a last-minute flight to New York. Unfortunately, my luggage was mostly all back in Paris because I was supposed to go to Paris for 2 more weeks, but I'll take that 2-week trip in the near future.
Yeah. Now, the months that you did this were like fall, winter, and spring, correct?
Well, I started the 1st of January of 2010 and came home the middle of April.
So you're in Europe during a time when there isn't a lot of tourist activity. I know, for example, just in my own experience, visiting Venice in March and visiting it in July are two very different experiences, completely different experiences, leaving me with two different impressions of Venice. But I think most of us who go to Europe go for short periods of time. You
yes.
have an opportunity to live there, even if it's just for a few weeks. You're living there every day. You're waking up every morning. You're living to some degree life in these cities, and you're experiencing their culture in more than just a fleeting way. Can you talk about that and the benefits of being there for extended periods of time?
Well, it was really a blessing that I wasn't prepared for. In Rome, I had a small apartment in an ancient part of Rome. I had world-class restaurants within 20 feet of either side of the door. Around the corner was a mom-pop pasta-making company store. Every morning, Dad would make pasta for the day. You'd go in at lunchtime and he'd have fresh pasta. You'd go back to the apartment, buy some tomato sauce that they had, and just have these incredible meals. But the wonderful thing was just to live there, to be able to walk the streets of Rome. I'd aim to go to maybe one museum, and then on the way, I'd find two or three small museums that I'd never heard of, and I could visit them. I could go visit churches that were not on my big list of places to go. And so having the time to really discover ancient Rome, medieval Rome, Renaissance Rome, contemporary Rome, and any of the other cities was just amazing.
Now, you mentioned this was a transformational kind of experience, and as you come back now and teach, and you teach not only music, but you teach art classes here at Union as well. What do you take from this experience and bring to the classroom?
That's a great question. My background is all 100% music. All my degrees are in music and musicology, which is a fancy way of saying music history. 30 years ago, I was asked if I'd be willing to start learning art history to teach one of the major core classes we have here at the university. All the undergraduates take a class that's arts in Western civilization. Well, half of that art is the visual arts. And so I took a number of courses here at Union, some graduate work later, to help me prepare to teach the art history side. So this trip was really for me to really in depth rediscover the visual arts. We teach a class, you look at a slide, you go, oh, that's a nice slide. But when you see this artwork live and you realize Mona Lisa is only about 2 feet square and some other famous painting that you thought was small, it's the size of the back wall of a church, it's really amazing because when the students hear me lecture now and I'm talking, I sat there in front of that place for 2 hours. I just taught the Sistine Chapel ceiling yesterday in my two sections. And so you sit there and tell the students, most tourists will go to Rome, they'll get a tour of the Vatican Museum, and they'll spend maybe 15 minutes in the Sistine Chapel. And they'll go, oh, really nice, Creation of Adam. And then they leave. Well, I had the luxury of sitting there for 2 hours with no one bothering me except for about 500 tourists who are all crammed shoulder to shoulder.
I was going to say, nobody bothering you in the Sistine Chapel. That really shows you were there in the off season.
Well, yeah, it was it was busy, but not as busy as it could be.
Yeah.
And just to sit there and tell them stories that I was picking up from museum guides and museum guards that I would be bored in a museum and I would just start up a conversation. And they were thrilled to have someone to talk to. They'd practiced their English, and which was good because I spoke no Italian. And I would just learn lots of background stories on the artwork, on the artists. And, you know, when a student hears you talk and you talk, I was really there. I really saw it. I was in a foot of something. It makes it all come alive. Art's supposed to be seen and enjoyed and not just something that you visit in a museum. It should be just part of our lives.
Now, where do you go from here with this experience? Some people who take these faculty research leaves are working on books, scholarly articles, but I think it's also a very fine aim to have to just bring better quality teaching to your classes. Is that primarily what you take from this? Is that what you move with going forward, or do you have some other projects in mind as well?
It's a great question. My skills as a writer are minimal, so the thoughts of writing a book is incredibly daunting. My real passion is teaching. And I think my real calling in life is teaching undergrads. I just love their willingness to be open and learn new things and to try to get these experiences that I saw and felt and heard and make it come alive. In some respects, I think of myself as a missionary for the arts of the world. And so my passion is teaching. What I learned was to help me teach better. I took nearly 16,000 pictures, which is just insane. With digital cameras, you can do that. But I also had a laptop, three backup drives, plus a cloud server with Microsoft. So I could throw all my pictures every day. I have to go through all the pictures, download. I take upwards of 500, 800, 1,000 pictures a day. And I'd have to go through them every night, organize them by files, by what church, what museum, what artist. And those pictures I'm starting to incorporate in lectures. And when I'm done identifying them all or typing titles in all of them, I'm going to open up – it's about 65 gigabytes of pictures. I'm going to open that up to all the faculty of who teach art history and the arts and Western Civ classes so that we can all benefit from what I was able to see and take pictures of.
So 16,000 pictures that you kept, and you actually took many more?
Well, yes. Every night, all the fun ones where you take a picture of your forehead by accident and your feet and someone walks in front of your lens. I threw out thousands of pictures that every night were just bad pictures. In total, which was amazing, I had no idea how many churches I would go to. And what I was fascinated by was here are spaces – that sometimes there are 1700, 1800-year-old churches that I was lucky to visit. And to realize that for some 1700, 1800 years, they're functioning churches with church services 7 days a week sometimes. And to realize this is architecture and art that has a purpose and function not just to be attractive, but carries depths of meaning. And it was just very, very moving for me. And I got incredibly adept at looking down a back alley and spotting the front of an ancient church to go visit. Sometimes they were locked. Sometimes they were unlocked. And in total, I probably saw close to 500 churches. I was going to church services, mass set services, both morning, noon, and night vesper services, and was going, in essence, to church four or five, six, seven times a week, sometimes three and four times on a Sunday, just to experience the function of these architectural spaces and as many as I could fit in. Museums, I lost count, hundreds of museums, from tiny ones the size of someone's living room that might hold 10 works of art to just the massive museums of the Vatican and the Louvre in Paris.
Mm-hmm. Now, what would you tell people who are thinking about perhaps going on one of these faculty research leaves? And when I say going, I mean leaving campus, but not necessarily going to other parts of the world like you did. But I think there is some fear, probably some, you know, some skepticism about whether it's something that people want to do. They're weighing it. They've been asked to think about it. What kind of advice would you give to folks based on your experience?
If I'm dealing with a colleague, a faculty member, I've taught for 32 years straight without a break. And so I had not realized how burned out I was. Within a month, I started re-energizing of why I was teaching and why I was a human being on this planet. And it gave me that really rare opportunity to sort of think, what am I doing here? What should be important in my career and in my teaching? And it had a stronger, deeper effect on me than I ever dreamed of. I had a budget very carefully, planning, estimating costs of airline tickets and hotels versus apartments and food costs, which in Europe can be astronomical. And you plan and you hope and you pray and you save money and you budget and then you just take the plunge and you go. Now, a lot of my colleagues will go on research leave specifically to take one or two classes and they live somewhere. Mine was really I've read all these art history books. It was time to go visit and see this live. And so my structure of the trip was different. It was not a vacation. Literally 8, 10, 12 hours a day, I'd be walking and visiting churches. And it was usually 6 to 7 days a week because Sunday is a day of rest. But that's when a lot of churches were open that I could visit. And yet I never minded it. It was work, but it was pleasure. And it was just an interesting combination.
Great. Dr. David McClune joining us today on Faculty Focus, University Professor of Music here at Union University. Thank you so much for sharing some of the insights involved in this faculty research leave.
You've been listening to Faculty Focus, a production of Union University in Jackson, Tennessee. Union integrates top-tier academics with Christ-centered learning in more than 100 fields of study. Union University, excellence-driven, Christ-centered, people-focused, future-directed.